All right. As they leave, it's 11:17. If you ever wonder what time it is and you don't have your phone, iPad, iWatch, watch, clock of any time, just turn around and you'll see a big screen with the time on it, okay? See it back there? Way back there. It's all the way on the back wall. That means we've got 12 o'clock minus whatever it is to 11:17 to preach this message. You ready? Now, hold up your Bible. Let me see your word. I want to see the word of God because that's our manuals. As of now, I'm not going to put it up. The Lord instructed me, I'm not going to put it up on the screens like you see at lots of churches. Why? Because what I've seen since I pastor a lot of pastors, hundreds that we have access to me, the Cowboy Ministers Network, and they're not all cowboy churches. I've noticed that a lot of times when we put up the scripture, nothing against it, by the way, that it just causes people not to bring their word. And I want you to get so used to never leaving this Bible behind because it's got the answer to everything. And I know sometimes you forget your Bible or whatever, and it's okay because I'm going to read out of it, and if I miss a line, someone will yell. But bring your Bible. Get used to it. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 54. Last week, wow, we talked about weapons. And I heard that Ricky, and I didn't listen to his message. I sometimes do, but I don't remember where we were, where I couldn't. Sometimes there's no services, we're traveling or whatever. But he said the Spirit of God had him teaching on just some ways to not allow the enemy to use weapons against us. And the weapons that we went to, and we finished it last week, were the lust of the flesh. And I know it's tough, man, sometimes when you have to start talking about adultery and fornication. You know, I mean, everybody should know, usually, if you've ever been to church much, adultery is being married and then, you know, cheating, having sex with somebody else. That's adultery, and it's wrong. Then fornication is just, you know, having sexual relations, you know, of any kind when you're not married. And I mean, and you talk about these things because lots of us have fallen in these areas. And you just keep going over and over and over, and then you get into drunkenness, and then that gets a little tense because of just people's ideas about drinking. I don't care what your idea is about drinking. I just know what it is for me. And I have to teach you what it is for me, and then it's between you and God. No condemnation, no guilt, praise God. Say amen to that. Amen. Because we don't serve a God of guilt and condemnation. But don't have this wall up either, that the Spirit of God can't minister to you in some areas that maybe we need to soften our hearts on. I mean, if you've got an alcohol problem or you know someone that does, then there's a way out of it. Man, there's ways that you can crucify flesh that you say no to those things that lead to destruction. And then you get on over to other things of the lust of the flesh. And we dealt with every one of them. Matter of fact, it was probably 2 years ago that I dealt with every single lust of the flesh individually. But then I started dealing with the good stuff. Because really, really understanding the lust of the flesh is good for you and I. I know the devil beats us up or tries to condemn us. You know, just because we're mentioning these things and maybe we fell to them. I mean, most of y'all know, if you've been to this church long enough, that there were 2 years in college, even though I was raised in the ministry and my dad was a pastor. And we sang. I was 13 years old when we started singing all over the country as a ministry, 13. But then I get in college, and over some circumstances, I walked away from God for 2 years, and the party was at my house. I was a fun guy, but it wasn't good. You know, I'm not saying that, don't let anybody tell you that sin is not fun. The only problem, though, is the wages of it is death. It can cause you to die spiritually, and it can cause you to die physically. So, a good preacher that's pastoring a church can't be afraid to talk about the things that we need to work on. Say amen to that. So don't get into any kind of fear. Just say, God, praise God. If I need some understanding, then just ask me for it. We talked about Isaiah 54 in verse 17. Is everybody there? Say amen. I've quoted, and I've told y'all last week, I have sent this scripture, I can't tell you to how many professional rodeo cowboys all across the country. I have sent this one scripture over and over and over to anyone that is going through a tough time, because here's what it says. Isaiah 54 and 17. No weapon that is formed against you. It uses the word "the" in the King James, but that's you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And we stopped there and we started talking about weapons that the devil uses. And the weapons he uses is the lusts of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to go back there, but we're just going to skip over the lusts of the flesh because we dealt with it last week. If you want to listen to that message, just go to our website. We have all the messages available for you to listen to, okay? It says, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. But let's move on. And every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Did y'all catch that? Because, man, you ought to get excited over that. That God's got your back. God's the one that if no weapon formed against you is going to prosper, then the people that are coming against you with their tongues, and obviously we probably have lots of testimonies of people coming against us in some way. Being a pastor, absolutely. Constantly. There's people that, you know, I remember years ago that they made up rumors that we were a beer-drinking church. I don't know where they got that one. I remember in the very early years, they started making rumors that the church bought my house and all my horses. Man, I wish they would have. There's always someone. Of course, being a pastor, you know, we're in the world elevated to a place where they want you, especially the world, they want you to mess up. But not just me, it's all believers. Really, the devil's no respecter of person, so you don't even have to be a believer. And his job, John 10:10, remember, is to steal, kill, and destroy. A lot of people think that, well, if I don't serve God, then the devil won't mess with me. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Because the devil will still try to kill you just because that is his nature. He doesn't say, well, that guy's not serving the Lord, so I'll bless him. Of course, the word bless is not even in the vocabulary of the devil. But stealing, killing, destroying is. But our God, praise the Lord, is full of the blessing of God. Not luck, because we don't believe in luck. If you say good luck, get it out of your vocabulary. Because you cannot find luck in the Bible except when they used to call, way back when you research it, they used to call Satan old lucky. Well, I don't want to be associated with old lucky. Plus, there's good luck and bad luck in people's vocabulary and their minds. But there's no such thing as a bad blessing. So we are to be saying, Godspeed, be blessed. do good, etc. Okay. When you're talking about weapons, then the devil's trying to get you off of the road of the blessing and consumed with all of those weapons that he's forming against you so that you can't do anything for God. I mean, matter of fact, he wants you to back away from your salvation. He wants you to back away to the before you gave your life to Jesus. The Bible calls it old Babylon. But when you understand that God's got your back and he's the one, according to the word of God, every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, God says, I'll condemn it. You don't even have to go to battle for him. No, just by faith maybe. But you don't have to go try to get someone back. You just live right. Remember in the Old Testament, the Bible says that your righteousness goes before you and the glory of the Lord is your rear guard. If you'll just do what's right, God's got your back. And he's saying no weapon that's formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, I'll condemn it. Now look why. The Bible says this is the heritage. You understand heritage, right? I mean, the Bible calls us sons and daughters of God. That means that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Everything that Jesus did, we have the benefit of it. He conquered death. That means we can conquer death. He conquered the grave. Praise God, we can do that. He conquered hell. That means we can conquer hell. And in other words, we don't have to go there. Jesus went there so that you and I don't have to go there. But the only way to not go to the place called hell is by receiving the Son, Jesus. And when you receive the Son of God, Jesus, old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And you are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light through Jesus Christ. You're in God's kingdom, in other words, which means we start acting a different way. We still live in a world, but we're not supposed to live of the world. In other words, we live in a new way. And there's going to be weapons that are formed against you. But God's saying, look, it's the heritage of us, the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Come on, clap your hands for that. That means there's hope in Christ Jesus. Outside of Christ Jesus, there's no hope. That's why I still travel the country, is because I want and have a desire in my heart to see people give their hearts to Jesus. I do not want anybody, no matter how much they've talked bad about me, no matter how bad they've stabbed me in the back, no matter how bad they've tried to harm my family, I don't want to see anybody go to the place called hell. So I'm out there trying to get them born again, and I have to be gone from this church a lot of times. But that's got to be our heart. But guess what happens when I get here? People get saved. I've never seen a church in 19 years like this one where we've seen hundreds and hundreds get saved at this church. And I don't know why. I've asked the Lord, and I've told you all this before, and it doesn't matter to me, because I've sometimes prayed, Father, why, as many people get saved, why isn't this place just packed out? I mean, knocking the wall. We built this thing to knock this wall out if we need to and just keep building. Well, I don't know. And we're not going to try to do God's job. But one thing I do know is people are getting saved, and then they're getting mature, and then they can go somewhere else and fit in. They're born again. And if God's got to bring them here to get saved, because one guy came, he came to this church and he said, hey, I got to tell you, I've been to 20 churches in Austin area and not one gave a salvation plan. I don't understand that. There's got to be lost people coming to church or visiting with someone just because they're friends or family that need to hear about Jesus. What is your heritage, man? Your heritage is of the servant of the Lord, and your righteousness is of God. So God wants to cause weapons that are formed against you to not prosper. He wants you to know that every tongue that rises against you in judgment, He's going to condemn it. Say amen to that. So that's why we need to then flip over to Galatians chapter 5 to help us understand what is going to keep weapons from being formed against us. Now, yes, Galatians chapter 5, turn there. It's all the way in the New Testament. You can go back to the back of your Bible and then just start heading back to the left and go slow. And when you get to the T's, Thessalonians, Timothy, keep going just a little bit and you'll go through a couple of more, like Philippians, etc., and you'll hit Galatians. And go to chapter 5 and look at this. Galatians chapter 5. Now, again, listen to me. We talked about verse 19 down to 21. It talks about the works of the flesh. Every one of those works are weapons that God does not want you to live by, because the devil uses every single one of them. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. I mean, I deal with that in rodeo, where rodeo becomes a lot of cowboy and cowgirls' God. I mean, that's their whole life is rodeo. And I'm trying to tell them, no, don't make rodeo your God. Keep Him number one. And it'll be a whole lot better for you. Say amen to that. There's people that I've had to deal with that their children are their God. They can't do anything without the child being in the center of everything. And then it's easy for the child to become before God. I know people that their husband and wife are their God. Listen, here's the order, though. You can't get it out. God's number one. If you're married, your husband or wife is number two, and then your children are number three. Okay? And then your job's down the line somewhere. You know, a lot of people worship their jobs. Okay? Well, that's what idolatry is. What about witchcraft? What about hatred? I know people that have so much hate. I'm thinking of one in my mind that I'm having to counsel from a long ways off. There's so much hate in the family for this one person that it's consumed them, and everything they do is because they hate this one individual. Well, that's a work of the flesh, y'all. We got to get out of it. Then it goes on to say variance, emulations, wrath. Oh, man, when there's wrath, or what about the next one after wrath? Strife. I mean, just strife. Everything going. Seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such. Now, let me see if I've got time. Because if you read on, sometimes I have to say this over and over. At verse 21 in Galatians 5, it says, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things, listen to me, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh man, that freaks a lot of people out right there. Because they immediately think, uh-oh, that means I'm not going to get to go to heaven. No. Don't ever not have confidence in your salvation. Because if Jesus is the Lord of your life and you've confessed Him as Lord with your mouth and believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou, which is us, will be saved. Okay? Here's what it's talking about. You've got to understand the Bible. There's a place called hell, the place, but there's a method on how we're supposed to live here on earth like heaven. Remember, Jesus taught us that prayer. All the Catholics know it. Ready? Our Father, say it with me, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. So we're supposed to do things here like heaven, okay? when it's talking about the kingdom of God, remember when Matthew says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then things will be added unto you? Because someone messes up in sin and they commit adultery or fornication or any of these things has nothing to do with your salvation. But what it does is it keeps you from just what it says, inheriting God's ways of doing things. Because there's a place called heaven, but then there's a method on how we're supposed to live, which is God's way of doing things. That's what Matthew says. Seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, when you study it out in the Greek or the Hebrew, simply means God's way of doing things where? On earth like heaven. So you won't inherit what we're fixing to read about. You won't inherit the kingdom things of God. Not talking about heaven, and it's not talking about hell. It's talking about you're not going to inherit the fruits of the Spirit. So let's read it. You ready? Here's what's going to help you not operate in the lusts of the flesh. Remember, the Bible says crucify your flesh daily. Why would it say that if you've got to be in fear about losing your salvation? Are y'all out there? Because people get the Bible so messed up that we're full of guilt and condemnation if we make a mistake. No mercy. But yet Jesus is full of grace and mercy. That's why he died. That's why we don't live by the old Levitical law anymore. We don't live by the Old Testament and have to do anything in the kingdom of God. We do it because it's God's ways of doing things. We live in God's kingdom because his ways are higher than our ways. We live in the kingdom of God so that we can walk by the Spirit of God. Look, it just goes on and starts saying all this. See, verse 22, y'all there? Say amen. It says, but the fruit. Now, I did this study when I did each individual lust of the flesh. I did everything about the fruits of the Spirit. And I stayed on that one word, fruit. Because look, fruit is good for us, right? Everybody will tell you fruit is good for the body. So isn't it interesting that the Apostle Paul, inspired by God, is using this word called fruit? He used the word called lust when he's talking about fleshly things. And always remember this one thing, y'all. Man, help me, Holy Ghost. When you give your heart to Jesus, the spirit man is what gets born again. You always have to understand that you are a spirit that lives in a body that has a soul. That's why the Bible calls it spirit, soul, body. Those three. Your spirit is born again, wants to do everything that the Father wants the spirit of man or the spirit of the Lord to do. That lives in, but you live in this fleshly body that's constantly causing trouble. It's constantly being torn away. So that's why the word says crucify that flesh. Because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of that, inside of this flesh. The temple of the Lord lives on the. That's why we need to do things unto the Lord, you see. But not live in condemnation. Okay. So with that in mind, then it starts talking about fruits. The fruit of the Spirit. Look at the first one. Love. I can spend a lot of time on love. When it goes back up into verse 22 and says, if you do all these lusts of the flesh, you won't inherit God's way of doing things. You won't inherit love. You'll be full of hate. You cannot be in love and be in hate at the same time. It's impossible. It's like being in faith and fear at the same time. Because faith is how we're supposed to live. Remember Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. You cannot live in faith and then live by the opposite, which is fear. So God puts all through the Word of God, look, you don't have a spirit of fear. You got a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. You don't have a spirit of fear, boy. That's kind of how God talks to a lot of us. Boy, girl, you ain't got... You know how you women are. What'd you say? I mean, women can do that. Why? Because they got that look. What? What? Don't y'all? What'd you say? You can't walk in fear. You've got to walk in faith in order to have fruits of the Spirit. But when you don't inherit the kingdom of God and God's ways of doing things, you'll inherit hate, but love, man, that's how God, that's how we operate. Perfect love, cast out all fear. I mean, when you really tap into your love walk, and I'm not talking about, I always have to say this, most of you know, years ago, they made that movie, Brokeback Mountain. And it was the worst. And I was getting calls from a lot of ministers saying that, hey, they want you on Fox News to talk about this movie and how it's portraying cowboys. Because you're one of the cowboy ministers. So I had to go watch that thing. No one was with me. I was all by myself. So I got this hat on and I, you know, I put a wig on maybe and, you know, I didn't. But, I mean, I was trying to be incognito because here, if I go on Fox News having to tell about this movie, I need to know about it. And so, and I'm telling you, the first scene was two men having a sex scene. And I was like, I'm sure everybody's going to get up and walk out after seeing that. And not one did. And there wasn't that many people there. I didn't make it through the whole movie, y'all. I mean, it was terrible. But what it was designed to do is it was designed to cause weapons to be put on the cowboy world that God is using in the last days. Smith Wigglesworth, a prophet from old, prophesied that in the last days God would use three groups of people, and one of them was the Western person, a cowboy, a cowgirl. You know why? Because we're the last culture of people that's still masculine. Men are men, and we know it. Because if men are men, women don't have to try to become a man to do things, and that's what's happened. The women, I mean, they're having to do everything because men aren't being men, you see. So they made this movie, and it was sickening. The enemy knew. The enemy knew that there was going to be an old cowboy preacher not afraid to speak the word of God. And I haven't been. Behind this podium, I am not afraid to get my nonprofit status taken from me by the state of Texas. Therefore, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. When it becomes a subject on marriage, I'm going to tell you what does the Word say about marriage. It's a natural-born man marrying a natural-born woman. Okay. I can't tell you how many pastors that I know of that, well, there's even denominations that they're so scared of getting persecuted for even saying that, hey, we believe in marriage between a natural-born woman and a natural-born man. There's so many things that we've got to stand on, and the cowboy world is bold enough to stand on knowing that there's two genders. There's male and female, y'all. The world is getting so confusing that if you live by the lusts of the flesh, you're not going to inherit all these the God's ways of doing things. You're not going to inherit love. You won't inherit that next one, joy. So guess what you'll do? You'll try to go get joy in other ways. Alcohol, drugs, I mean, all kinds of ways where, I mean, when people are lonely, they're willing to do anything to not be lonely, you see. Instead of, why don't we tap into fruit? The fruit, it's good for us. The fruit, joy. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength, son. Daughter, get joy, not happiness, remember. Happiness is temporary, but joy in God's way, it's a fruit that's everlasting, forever and ever and ever. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit, y'all. The weapon up there is the opposite of joy. Then look at the next one, peace. This is fruit. It's good for you to have peace, right? I want peace. I don't want to be around a bunch of fighting and gossiping and murmuring. The children of Israel had to deal with that. And they ran around that mountain over and over and over for 40 years. You don't want to be that person that stays in this work of the flesh of some type for 40 years before you finally get out of it. No, no, no. Live by the fruit of the Spirit, by doing things God's way. Maybe you will get persecuted. I have. I don't like persecution, but you know what? When you stand on the Word of God, remember y'all, the devil, he's seeking. Remember who he might, got her. The devil's seeking who he might devour. And he just seeking. Oh, I got her. I know how to push her buttons. But when you say, get out of here, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Say that. Get out of here in the name of Jesus, Satan. Oh. Then she's using her faith. Okay, what does the devil do? Rose. She cleans her. I know how to get her button. All I got to do is leave the floor dirty. My house. She cleans her house, man. She's the best. But she'll say, uh-uh. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Then the devil has to go, no, that's a child of God there. It's a new person. Did you see her? She goes, get him. He's seeking whom he may devour, but when we use the Word of God, he has to go, oh, that's a woman of God. That's a man of God. Let me seek someone else that I... You see, that's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to live by the fruit of the Spirit so that when the enemy tries to attack you, he sees the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You start living and speaking faith, man. You start saying, I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. I'm more than a conqueror through God because he loves me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am someone in Christ. Not without him, I'm someone in him. Because he lives on the inside of me. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. You see what happens? Then the devil has to start seeking someone else. Because you're operating by a fruit called peace. And then peace passes understanding. What does the enemy do as I close? The enemy always tries to rob you of your peace. And he tries to make you, why did that happen to me? Did y'all see my post on Facebook? I was just, you need to be friends with me and Jamie on Facebook. We probably only can have a few more friends left. I don't know. You only get 5,000. We've had to change our account twice because so many people wants to be our friend. We're friendly. I heard someone say this, if y'all read it. A lot of y'all liked it and even commented. I heard someone go, hey. And they were, actually, I didn't want to clarify everything, but they were talking about someone dying. Well, you know, it's just God's plan. It's just God's plan. It's just God's plan. And I was like, wait a minute, that's not biblical. Because not everything's God's plan for us. Sickness and disease is definitely not God's plan. there's an enemy. John 10:10. The thief, the devil comes to steal. God's good, y'all. The devil's the one that's bad. And if you'll understand that, you'll understand the Bible. That means anything good, this is what I wrote, comes from above. And you know what's good and you know what's bad. Don't try to fool yourself. Cancer is not of God. It's of the devil. Yes, 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 yes. Don't get religious, because then God can work for the good of those who love the Lord, even in a bad thing, even in a trial, a tribulation. God can work it for the good, but it isn't God that caused it. We've got to understand that. Look, y'all, the weapons are when we start getting in the works of the flesh. But the fruits will keep us in the blessing of God. It'll keep weapons from not penetrating. Remember, every little fiery dart that the wicked, it just bounces right off of us. Why? Because we're living right. We're righteous. I didn't say holier than thou. I didn't say a goody two-shoe better than the next person. That is not a true believer. I'm talking about we just have confidence. That's why, again, they wanted to try to down the cowboy world and make us feminine, when the cowboy world needs to be bold to preach the word of God so that we can live by the fruits of the Spirit. So that when there's no peace and we don't understand why something happened, because that's really what that person was saying, is he don't know why. He's just saying, it's just God's plan. It's just God's plan. It's just... No, it isn't. You've got to live by faith. All through the Word of God, people got healed, and God always said, according to your faith, be healed. According to your faith. According to your faith, you see. You see, man, this is a good book if we'll just get it right and stop living by the flesh. If you've got an issue of flesh, you need to let God deliver you from it in Jesus' name. Because you can do it. I mean, I'm telling you, someone called me and wanted to quit smoking. And I said, well, the only way you can quit smoking because of that addiction of nicotine is you've got to have more of a desire not to do it than to do it. Because people try to quit all the time. I mean, my whole family besides me, I don't know why I never dipped. Well, yes, I do. Because my dad gave me a dip when I was young, and it made me sick, and I never did it again. But my dad did it. My brothers did it. You've got to have more of a desire not to do it than to do it. And most people aren't there. They moderately try to quit it because they know it's good for them, but they really still like to do it. And you'll keep doing it. But the day you go, you know what? I'm not going to do it anymore. And that power and that desire is greater than the desire to do it. You can give it up today. You see, God wants us to live by these flesh. And I'll try to finish it next time. But listen. If you want to do kingdom things, you've got to get into the kingdom. And fruits of the Spirit is how we're supposed to live. Loving people when maybe they don't love us. Just loving on people that aren't even lovable. And I'm not saying attacking them with the Word of God, beating them up over the head with the Bible. I'm just saying, man, when you just love people and you have confidence in your salvation, then no one gets under your skin. They can't say anything about you that moves you. That's fruit. That's being fruitful. That's letting your righteousness go before you. And then, guess what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to be sneaky and attack you from behind. That's what happens with most people. That whether they do things in the dark. They're going to steal from you in the dark, usually. Don't get me wrong, there's some bold criminals nowadays that are doing it in the light, but they're still in darkness. But most people, what do? They wait till it's dark to try to go take something so they don't see you. It's time that we live in the light. The light is Jesus. It's called fruit. And fruit is good for you, y'all. But the lust of the flesh, no bueno. Y'all savvy? It's no bueno. It's bad. So let's live in the kingdom of God. Remember, God's ways of doing things here on earth, like in heaven, and His way is love. His way is joy. His way is peace. And then we'll talk about the rest of them in the next week or so. Amen? Did y'all have a good time? Oh, thank you, Lord. All right. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for just imparting truth. Because the truth, the Word says, makes us free. So, Father, thank you, Lord, that even if we're hearing things like we've never heard it preached before, I just thank you, Lord, that you would reveal truth to the believer. Not doubt. Not, well, God wanted you to go through that trial or tribulation or that wreck or that attack to teach you a lesson. God will humble you. No, nowhere in the Word of God does it say God humbles us, but it does say we're to humble ourselves. So, Father, thank you for imparting the truth to us, little nuggets at a time, sir, until we live by the fruit of the Spirit. And any of those works of the flesh, we'll say no to in Jesus' name. And we've got the power to say no to it. We're not going to live in hatred. We're not going to live in adultery. We're not going to live wrong. We're going to live right because we're righteous, because Jesus lives on the inside of us. So thank you for helping us, sir. Thank you, Lord, that we receive this message by faith in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If you left this earth and you stood before God, as the Bible says, He calls it the Great Judgment Day. That means you have to leave this earth. You've got to die of the flesh, or if Jesus is Lord, He'll come back and get you. Ooh, I can't wait for that. The Bible calls that the rapture. Hallelujah. But if you don't know what would happen to you if you died, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or the place called hell, or maybe you haven't ever thought about it. I want you to think about it right now. There's only one way to the Father in heaven, according to John chapter 14. Jesus says it this way, that I'm the way. Jesus says this, not a preacher, not a church. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. And no one, no man comes unto me, comes unto the Father, but by me. So you've got to receive Jesus as Lord in order to get to heaven. That's why He died. He was crucified so that we can receive Him as Lord and miss the place called hell and go to the place called heaven. But again, y'all, if Jesus is your Lord, He's your Savior, you can live here on earth like heaven. You can cast every care upon God. Remember, He loves you, cares for you. You can talk to Him, ask Him for wisdom. Remember, James says, if you lack wisdom, just ask God for wisdom, and He'll give it to you liberally and upbraideth not. I mean, He'll just weave wisdom on the inside of you like the braid of hair. Is He your Lord, though? If you died, and I'm not speaking death on any person in here, I'm just making you think about this. If you left this earth and died, do you know where you'll go? If you don't, then pray this prayer with me. If you don't know what would happen to you if you left this earth, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, do it right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. All I'm going to ask you to do is pray the prayer and mean it, and pray it out loud where your ears can hear it. And we're going to ask Jesus to come into our lives. Now, believers in here are going to pray it with you, so you're not going to be praying it all by yourself. And I'm not even going to ask you to come down to the front to get saved. I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting, standing, or watching. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer out loud and ask Jesus to come into your life. And even believers, I want you to pray this prayer with someone beside you, in front of you, behind you. And we'll just pray it with people that may be praying to ask Jesus to come into their lives for the first time. We're going to pray it with you, okay? So believers, please pray this prayer. But again, if you're here and you never have received Jesus as Lord, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, pray this prayer out loud with all of us and mean it. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And today, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I leave this earth. But while I live here, I'm going to live for you, sir. In Jesus' name I pray. No one looking around, just real fast. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your heart to Jesus, don't you dare be afraid to tell somebody. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do with no one looking around, heads bowed and eyes closed, just out of respect. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand and say, I just gave my heart to you, Lord. I meant that prayer, and then just put your hand down. The Bible says if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus says, I'll confess you before the Father. In other words, don't you dare be afraid to let people know that Jesus is now your Lord. And I've seen people be in churches for years and never had an understanding of salvation. And then one day, they gave their heart to the Lord. Now, I know most everybody's probably saved in here, but I'm talking to anyone that just prayed that prayer and you never had, and you meant it, and Jesus is now your Lord. When I say three, get that hand up. Ready? With boldness. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Get it up. Thank you, little man. Thank you. Praise God. I'm going to give you a Bible. It's the reason I want you to hold your hand up. The guys are going to give you a Bible. Glory be to God. If you didn't get a Bible, just look up at me and raise your hand and I'll get you a Bible. And that's, you're just saying, I just gave my life to Jesus. I don't want to ever miss anybody. Is there anybody else that gave your heart to the Lord? Did you give your heart, little man? Did you give? All right. Someone get him a Bible. Little guy right over there. Amen. Just keep coming around. This little man, he's still got his hand up. I like it. Nope, one up. There's a little guy right there. Yes, sir. Just give him a Bible. All right, look at me, everybody. Don't ever, ever, ever think Billy Graham got saved at four. So a lot of people were like, he don't know what he's doing. You never know. That little man, I call him born again, serving God for all his life. Amen. All right.